Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Experience a membership that backs what you're building with American Express Business Platinum. Get 2x membership rewards points per dollar on eligible purchases in key business categories, as well as on each eligible purchase of $5,000 or more, on up to $2 million in eligible purchases per calendar year. American Express Business Platinum. There's nothing like it. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
And the kick is good! The Seahawks win the game!
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Do you think we've seen the last of Russell Wilson?
Honestly, I hope we have.
I'm not done.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Pro Football Hall of Famer Steve Young. Coming up, actor and comedian Kevin Pollak. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Quite honestly, almost missed being in this chair for this show open for hour number 3 because we had a great chat with Kevin Pollak in the back. I haven't seen him in a while.
He's the greatest.
KP is here for hour number 3. That rhymes. Tulsa King. He's in the newest season of Tulsa King. So is Samuel Jackson Jr., man. Sam Jackson.
Feller and I were ready. I was kind of hoping you didn't make it back out because Jay was
a Jay show. Season 3 of Tulsa King
and Jay show.
On the air. Sly Stallone and as we all know,
episode 1
plays
really
Tulsa
good.
King.
So. Oh, you got? I haven't watched it yet.
No. Oh yeah, it's coming in hot, bro.
Can't wait.
So, currently on Paramount Plus, as it always is, anything to do with Taylor Sheridan is on Paramount Plus. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're going to do What's More Likely, then Kevin Pollak's going to come out. We just hit this with Steve Young about a revenge game coming up on Sunday Night Football. I have my top 5 games that I'm looking forward to seeing in the rest of Week 4 that kicked off with a Seattle Seahawk victory in Arizona on Thursday night. Just talked about the revenge game of Micah Parsons coming back to Dallas. And so we heard from Micah first this week when he chatted with the Associated Press. Then we heard from Jerry in his 105.3 The Fan weekly appearance. Locally in the Metroplex. Then we heard from Micah again. How he has not spoken with Jerry at all since OTAs, which is, by the way, the spring, which means they didn't even say a word to each other in training camp when he was sitting there, standing there, various forms of not practicing, all of that. And so there really hasn't been a lot of back and forth that might be a bulletin board thing. And so at least Jerry's done talking for the week, right?
Yeah, of course.
When you say
I got a feeling you're going to tell me he's not.
That's correct.
Oops.
Another 105.3 The Fan appearance.
Was Jerry driving around and just called
don't
in?
Don't know. Jerry from Frisco, you're on.
Make no mistake about it. Micah is special, and we all know he is, and he can be disruptive. But we have huge amounts of experience with the anecdotes that we've seen used on us for the last 4 years. Right. And while he does make great plays, there is also a way to approach playing against Micah, as we know, because we didn't exactly win the Super Bowl during those years. So bottom line is, when I look at playing him, I think of trying to have him as an advantage when we were playing other teams over the last 4 years. And some plays it looks beautiful, but then other plays, especially running plays, you can wish you'd have had a different formation.
Wow. I love it. This is why I think, what was the word, miracle? Is that what Michael Irvin used to describe Jerry Jones, the NFL, and the Jim Jackson show? Wherever you get your podcasts, Jim's guest this week, Michael Irvin, calls Jerry a miracle.
It's a miracle I haven't signed that paper.
The release of fandom.
Do it.
The Dallas Cowboys.
That's a true
miracle. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Then, like I said, what would we have to talk about?
Listen, back when Micah was here, there were times when he sucked, and we just need to take the times when he sucked and replicate them for our advantage when it was used against us, his sucking.
Because he's the reason we haven't won a Super Bowl.
You know what I mean?
Basically,
there
what
were
he
times
said.
When other teams did well enough against Micah.
Mac.
Because we didn't win the Super Bowl when he was here. So
solely because
now,
of him.
No, not so. You didn't say that. You
well,
didn't say that.
We didn't
exactly win the Super Bowl when he was here.
Look, that's how I heard it. As a Dallas fan.
Who came on the air this week and said when you hit 50 home runs with us, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was an old...
it was an old... I forget. Somebody's like, if you hit 50 home runs when you're with us and we lost, we can... You don't have to be here.
Yeah, we don't need
Somebody told that story.
Yeah, it was a story about an old,
who it was.
An old manager.
Hey, what we need to do is we need to look at the tape is when Micah sucked. And then take that tape and see what the other team did to cause Micah to suck. And then we'll be that team now.
And then we do that and make
us sucking.
Yeah. You need to marry that with the Frank Caliendo. You know what I mean? Oh, man. Sunday night football. I just want, again, Jerry, just one last time here. Jerry Jones, go up to Micah before the game. Extend your hand just to mess with him.
He'll shake it.
Oh, yeah. It'll be
Micah.
Great. That's what we need. There we go.
Macca.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. It's a Friday.
So?
It's time for What's More Likely.
Do it.
Hit it.
What?
What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
Ah, yes. What do you have over there, Chris Brockman? It's a big Friday. What's More Likely? Hit it.
Big Friday. What's up, everybody? You guys are good.
So we're
good.
Started.
Let's talk about Micah and Dallas playing against each other on Sunday night. Where is it on my list here? More likely to be the higher total Sunday night, boys. Micah Parsons sacks or Dak Prescott touchdown passes?
Come on. I'll go Dak Prescott touchdown passes for you, TJ.
Yeah, don't be ridiculous.
Well, he's going to throw 8 in the game then? Because okay, Micah's
that's not going to happen.
Setting the sack
that won't happen.
Obviously.
That won't happen. So I'll go. Let's say Dak has 2. Dak throws 2. Micah gets 1.5 sacks. I think that's a feasible thing, right? 1.5 sacks would be a nice night for Micah.
It's a good night.
I'd prefer a number closer to 0.
I don't think that's going to happen either.
Are you secretly rooting for Micah to do well, TJ?
Absolutely he is.
No.
Why?
Because him doing well will have an outcome on the game. So if he does well, we're definitely going to lose.
But I think you kind of don't like the Cowboys anymore in a weird way.
You know, it depends on what day you ask me.
Today's that day.
I'm cool with him.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll go Dak touchdown passes. 1.5 sacks, by the way, would be a nice night for him because then there'll be some quarterback pressures on top of it. But I think, you know, Dak in this offense has done very well. No CD is problematic.
Yeah, if only we hadn't lined him up in the backfield for a stupid play and he hurt his ankle and was out 4 weeks.
For then, a stupid play.
Yeah, stupid
play. Is that what the play's called? Was stupid?
They better read
it. Everybody,
all,
let's run stupid.
Stupid
play.
Let's get on 3. Ready?
Let's get 88 in the backfield and let's run stupid
here
on 3.
Go.
1, 2, 3.
Stupid.
That's right. Here he goes.
Rich, you think the NFC North?
Here we go, stupid.
Here we go, stupid.
You think
it's
the NFC North is still the best division, right? NFC North?
I think it is, sure.
More likely division to get 3 playoff teams, NFC West, NFC North.
I'll go NFC West right now, because if we said beforehand that Minnesota might be the team that loses out on a playoff spot and the Seahawks get in, I still think the Rams are getting in.
Yeah.
49ers are the issue too, huh?
3-0. They lead the division.
I know.
Everybody's hurt. Well, not everybody, but...
They're probably going to beat Jacksonville, right? Purdy's back.
What about the AFC North? Steelers, Ravens, and the Jake Browning-led Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not giving up on that. By the way, there's a whole Monday to preview Bengals and Broncos for me to keep on doubling
down. Which means there's still time for you to get on this take.
You get on First Take.
You might want to leave that one alone.
Have I had my last take on First Take? What do you think?
Well, if you keep going down this Jake Browning one.
If Jake Browning throws for 500, I don't know, maybe.
They'll have you back.
Struggling second-year wide receiver, more likely to break out this weekend. We saw Marvin Harrison kind of break out last night. How about Brian Thomas Jr. or Malik Nabers?
I'll go Malik Nabers, man. What's going on with Brian Thomas Jr.? Did he hurt his wrist too?
I mean,
celebrating a catch?
I have no idea.
I have no idea what is going on there.
It's very
dude.
Bizarre.
Jeez.
I mean, they've both been pretty terrible.
The Niners honestly. Defense has been really terrific, but so have the Chargers. What am I thinking here?
Yeah, but Malik is.
Man,
Malik is trailing. Malik Nabers throw it.
He's ridiculous.
I know.
Brian Thomas did have that like 40-yard catch at the end of the game.
I think Brian Kelly would have a problem with this question. It's the wrong LSU question to ask.
Right?
Why not both? I'll go Malik Nabers.
I could have went struggling LSU receiver.
Yeah, I just assumed that.
Yeah, we assumed. That's why you're connecting these two. Okay, very good.
Yeah. More likely backup quarterback to get a second straight win. Carson Wentz, Marcus Mariota.
I'll go Mariota. Carson Wentz against the Steelers defense. I think they're licking their chops.
The Steelers, what Steelers defense?
The one that knocked the ball loose 20 times against your team?
I don't think they had anything to do with it.
Well, get out of here, man.
The Pats players stink and can't hold on to the ball.
Somebody had, they didn't just drop it.
Yeah. Remind you, Stevenson basically just dropped it four times.
No, he didn't.
Well, at least one.
Get out of here, dude.
Walking into the end zone.
By the way, again, I don't know if this is going to get me on First Take at all. I saw a topic bar there, like which quarterback would you rather have or trust or whatever in that game, Carson Wentz or Aaron Rodgers? It's just like, that's an offensive question.
Yeah, it's a little disrespectful.
To Wentz, obviously.
Well, come on. Stop it, dude. Get out of here, man. Carson Wentz has been bouncing around, and he had one nice, it was a good game.
I think he's on, his sixth different team in the last 6 years?
Yes.
This man was three Stop games it. Away from being MVP of the NFL.
I know that.
What happened?
Aaron Donald. He decided to jump for the end zone head first, and Aaron Donald was in the hole.
What if I told you?
That kind of changed everything. Yada, yada, yada. There's a statue of Nick Foles out front of the stadium.
I mean, has anyone ever been so close to greatness and just have it like ripped away from them?
I'll go Mariota in Atlanta rather than Carson Wentz against the Steelers in Ireland.
So, Rich, you agree with Chris that this is a revenge game?
Mariota revenge game.
Yes, I'm now turning it around.
Okay.
More likely, quarterback running back duo for more combined yards on Sunday: Jackson Dart and Scataboo.
Scataboo.
Herbie and Omarion.
Really?
Well. The Giants are going to be trailing, so I imagine Dart can back up.
I'll go Herbert in Hampton.
I don't know if they're going to need to throw it.
Okay, I'm going to go 3-0. I'm going 3-0 versus 3-0.
I'm starting to say
3-0 versus 0-3. I'm taking the 3-0
team. The Giants winning this game would be great for content.
By the way, Rich, yesterday.
So are the Chargers great for content. Nah. You don't think a 4-0 team that's practicing down the street would be good for the Rich Eisen show?
Are they coming in here to celebrate with us on Monday?
I mean,
I'm just saying it's good for content if the Jackson Dart balls out and wins.
Well, I think it would be great for the Giants fans. Yeah.
Rich, you might not have heard this story in the control room yesterday, but I picked the Giants to win this game.
Oh, good for you.
I hadn't heard
that from the...
Yeah, you weren't paying attention.
I was not.
Yeah. That spread should not be 6.5. More likely, is it Baker leads another last-minute comeback win or the Chiefs drop to 1-3?
Ooh.
Obviously, the Chiefs dropping to 1-3 is likely as it is that Baker does it again. I think this is a false choice that you're making me make.
What?
It is. They're both highly likely to happen. What? The Chiefs losing to the Ravens at home. Is likely. and Baker Mayfield leading another I'll go. It's more likely that there's a one in, that the Chiefs go 1-3. Because how likely is it that you do it for a fourth straight time?
That was kind of the point of the question.
I mean, those are just not that he can't do it, just the fact that it's done three times in a row, and it would it happen for a fourth?
Yeah, they've won on the last play of the game 3 weeks in a row. You want to do it again? 4 in a row?
All right, screw it. I'll take Baker.
Okay, that was the point of the question.
Okay, I'll take Baker.
Okay,
I'll take
Am
Baker.
I a dog with a bone?
I don't know where we went that? With.
What was that all about?
I don't know. Did you accidentally hit a Bill Pullman drop?
No, he made you do that.
Okay, got it.
Oh, like a dog. I get it.
They don't always work.
No, I get it now.
Is it more likely Kerry Williams has another 4-touchdown game or Ashton Jeanty gets his first 100-yard game?
I'll go Ashton Jeanty gets his first 100-yard game.
We need to speak this into existence.
Oh, my gosh. I think we're one poor Ashton Jeanty performance away from, like, why did you make him change his stance?
Oh, that take. Interesting.
You know, like, yeah. Let him loose. Like, it's Boise State. They're two games like that away from saying, just paint the turf blue.
Why'd you take him sixth overall?
I'll go that way. Another 4-touchdown game is a tall order against Max Crosby, dude. So I'll go Ashton Jeanty. Here we go.
More likely to be the bigger number.
Is a pirate.
More likely to be the bigger number. Cal Raleigh homers this weekend, or 4-0 teams still left on Monday.
Okay. Well, obviously there's going to be one fewer. There won't be a 4-0. Let's put it this way: there won't be two 4-0 teams emerging from Tampa. So that's one fewer one.
Right.
San Francisco could win, so that's a one right there. I think Indianapolis loses to the Rams, so that's two there. That's gone. Who else?
Bills play the Saints, so that's two.
That's two. I'll go. There'll be a higher number of 4-0 teams left on the weekend. Okay. I don't know if Raleigh going to even play all three games.
Oh, I don't know.
It depends.
Why not? He's got a chance to get the AL record.
I know. And not just that. They have a chance to be the, speaking of record in the AL, they could have the best record in the AL.
Yeah.
I'll just go 4-0 teams on Monday. Just say that. Got one more?
Last one.
One more. I did not know that.
That's my boy.
I did not know that. More likely to be larger total here. Bills winning margin.
Against New Orleans.
That's like a 15.5 sprint. Or the Team USA's final score in the Ryder Cup.
Oh, I'll go Bills winning margin. Because the Ryder, you need 14.5 to win the Ryder Cup right now, right?
Right.
It's not looking good right now.
Well, they're doing better in the afternoon four ball situation.
Better, the Ryder Cup seem better at four ball.
They're better with four ball.
Okay. Oh, I like this. By the way, the Ryder Cup team has the same color scheme as the Bills.
Hey.
Look at that.
Hey now.
I'll take the Bills winning margin.
You think blowout city?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
A lot of train whistles, man. A lot of train whistles with the Saints coming to town.
That's such a high spread, too.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the show. Phone lines are all lit, which is great. Sit back. Enjoy. It's always a lot of fun when Kevin Pollak stops by. He's coming in support of Tulsa King, the latest hit show that features Kevin Pollak, the Niner fan, coming on out in a moment. What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's up to 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel? What if it's all of that and more? What is it then? The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Just showed a clip of Paramount Plus's Tulsa King. Check it out every Sunday on Paramount Plus Season 3. Kevin Pollak has joined the cast and joined the show once again. And so the first time you've met Sylvester Stallone, did you have any moments on the set where you picked his brain about Rocky or about anything from the past, Rambo, any of those moments? Or no, you just left him alone on that front?
I tend to leave people alone when it comes to what were you thinking when you did this or that, right, or how did that work? Also, I was new guy. They'd already had two wildly successful seasons.
Yes, sir.
The show is a monster hit in the Taylor Sheridan universe. So I kind of wanted to get along and not try to push any buttons.
Right. Not nudge around, I guess, in that respect.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, he's an inspiration and has been for decades upon decades. And just the whole story of how Rocky came to be. And he insisted on starring in it when no one was greenlighting movies with him as the star.
Right.
But he wrote the script and held out for, no, it's got to be me. And boy, was he right.
And I guess let's talk about underdog stories. A guy named Brock Purdy for you.
Yeah.
For the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching the show from home before I came here.
Thank you, sir.
The first hour, as you were insisting how great Seattle was. Listen, we beat him. So let's start there. Brock led us right past him on week
right.
one.
Right. He did with that pass for the ages to Jake Tonjes.
I mean,
I'm sure you were looking up in your flip chart at home about Jake Tonjes and who he was.
Big fan.
Like we all.
From that moment on.
He had you at hello,
he
Jake
did.
Tonjes. You know what I mean? But Brock Purdy, a dream come true type material so far.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a great leader. And having Robert Sala back, oh my, oh my. Let's face it, our defense has certainly kept us in the games post that week
right.
one, and they're just incredible, even with the loss of one of the greatest pass rushers in the history of the NFL, Nick Bosa.
Okay, look at you.
Oh,
going
yeah, I'm going
that
all
big.
The way
you're
there.
You're going that big. You're,
yep.
you're playing it big, huh, Kevin?
Well, when you lose one, you got to...
Okay,
gotta,
understood.
Yeah,
right.
You got to feel that. But I still believe in what Robert Sala and Ward are capable of in terms of keeping that team together.
So you've been a Niners fan forever
lifetime.
And a day?
Okay. I'm old, so John Brody...
That's the guy.
Losing to Dallas in the playoffs, 17-10.
That was your guy growing up?
At Kezar.
Kezar Stadium.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then we had to suffer through DeBerg. And I think at one point we had Plunkett. I mean, you know, it was a bad time.
Towards the end of Plunkett.
Yeah.
You wanted the Plunkett on the other side of the Bay Area. That's the Plunkett you wanted.
Yeah. And then I was there for the arrival of the Messiah and Joe Montana.
And we just had Steve Young on in hour number two of this program. You know what I mean? And we were talking about revenge games, certainly with Micah going back to Dallas. And,
yes.
And how, you know, Montana played Young that one year in 1994. That's one of the top revenge games of you know, the last 40 years or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, we were very concerned when the upstart forced out our Joe Montana.
Right.
And then to come in and break all of his records and pick up some more Super Bowl rings was pretty damn impressive.
I love that you're wearing your hat. You're letting your colors fly.
Yeah. Lifelong.
Yeah, and you got Robert Patrick on the show as well. I know he's an Atlanta fan. He's been on here before. Neil McDonough as well. Frank Grillo is in the cast this year. Is it true Sam Jackson's?
Sam Jackson, it was announced he's doing a spinoff, Nola King, set in New Orleans.
Oh, so it's not on, he's not
so he
on.
Shows up in our season three in order to continue his story.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I got to spend some time with Sam and, you know, we're old timers, so we just swapped war stories from the trenches he's, again, iconic in every which way possible. So he told me some actual backstories. You should have him on and ask him about Pulp Fiction, because he was sharing some stuff as a lifelong fan of that movie.
Yes.
Going on, 31 years now.
Do you want to give us a little taste of
what
he was sharing?
Sam's stories?
Yeah. I mean,
oh,
what'd he tell you?
I would rather tell you the time on the set of A Few Good Men when Tom Cruise said, hey, do you want to ride to work tomorrow?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
color me intrigued, sir. Okay, so what happened?
Well, we shot in Culver's. We shot a couple weeks in Washington, D.C. to establish the exteriors of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But the interiors were on the sound stages in Culver City where they shot Gone with the Wind and all sorts of incredible movies. It's a Wonderful Life and so on. So shooting over there, we had to shoot one scene, of course, down to visit the Colonel Jessup in Guantanamo Bay.
Yes, sir.
And they sent the script to the Marines, who read the script and said, you've got the Colonel being a bit of a lunatic here. Yeah, you're not shooting here. You'll get no help from us. So we shot in Long Beach. And,
yada, yada, yada. Shooting Long Beach.
So Tom, the day before we're going to shoot in Long Beach, says, oh, well, we're on sound stages of Culver City. Do you want to ride to work tomorrow? I got a car. I mean, what do you mean? It's 20 minutes down the... No, no. Do you want to ride to work tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And then I floated a picture to your staff. I don't know if they loaded it up in time. and Tom piloted the helicopter.
Oh.
To take me down.
No kidding.
And this was 1991, 92, a little bit before people, I think, were hip to the fact that Tom was a pilot, mm-hmm. let alone a helicopter pilot, which is one of the more difficult.
So he picked you up in
he
a helicopter?
He sent me on the tarmac where the helicopters, yeah, you know, and you haven't lived till you've valet parked your car on a tarmac.
That's true.
Is what I kept saying for right. about 6 months afterwards.
So he flew you to...
So he piloted me. This is Long Beach, which in a car is 30 minutes tops, and in the helicopter was maybe 11. But there we are.
Oh,
there we are standing outside the.
My word.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he hops into the driver's seat.
See, yeah, he hops in the pilot seat there, and we've got the headphones on, and he's. You like the view? And the crate, you know, it's bonkers. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
And I, you know, do we tell the insurance company that. We're taking a helicopter to...
Does he get a per diem for that sort of thing?
Well, I think we both
did. Does he have to clear that with someone, or he just did it?
I think I would have to clear it with someone, and
I'm not sure Tom does that wow. sort yeah. of thing.
Was okay. it just the two of you?
It was just the two of us.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, it was, DJ.
So when I'm watching back...
Yeah, yeah.
A Few Good Men.
Sure.
And it's the scene where he's... talking to Colonel Jessup at breakfast, right? That
yes.
sort of thing. Okay.
You gotta ask me nicely.
That's right. Gotta ask me nicely for yeah. the transfer orders, right?
Yeah, yeah the transfer orders.
Okay. So yeah. You know.
Please.
Please. And so that's Long Beach, California.
That shot that in Long okay. Beach. Yeah, and there's a base down there.
And that you're there.
Yep.
Fresh off of a helicopter ride from Tom
yeah,
Cruise.
Probably a little sweaty from it. Yeah, because okay. I was nervous.
how? I mean, he's got to be a good helicopter.
Oh, tremendous,
pilot,
yeah.
Right?
He said, do you want to see something? And I said, no, let's just get there.
What's the something he was referring to? Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Amazing. I was going to ask you your favorite Tom Cruise story.
Yeah.
Is that...
Well, another time I used him to get a better deal on a Lexus.
Okay.
What?
I'd love to hear this.
I'll bite?
Yeah.
What happened?
So I had a new HBO special coming up, stand-up special. And we were going to do these bits other than just the concert footage for the special. And so I thought, you know how people at the end of a big Broadway show, the famous thing where they're bowing and someone brings them up the flowers?
Sure.
I said, let's really go that to the nth degree. Someone will come out, give me flowers. Someone comes out after that, a couple seconds later, puts a robe and a crown on me or a cape. And then someone comes out and gives me a briefcase full of money. And then takes off his right arm and hands it to me. And then the back curtains open up and a car rolls out with a supermodel on the hood. And you know, the voice of God off camera and a brand new car.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so we're going through all the machinations. And I realized at the time I wanted the new 1991-92 Lexus Coupe two-door. It had just come out, 90-day waiting. They're selling him over sticker price. And so I'm realizing, well, I've got this opportunity. I'm working on this movie. Let me see if I can get ahead of the 90-day waiting list. So I'm calling around all the dealerships. And I would give them the long spiel. You know, I've done this movie. I died in Denzel Washington's arms, every small Jewish fellow's dream. I think it was part of my bar mitzvah, my haftorah. I said, if I could just. So, you know, I've done the L.A. Story with Steve Martin. And I get to the end of the phone call. And they would say, wow, yeah, I'm sorry, who are you? You know, and I was just looking to jump ahead the 90, well, you know, I'm not trying to steal the car.
Yeah, right.
And so every dealership, the GM, I'd get them on the phone and it would all end with, I'm sorry, who do you think you are? And so at the very last time out in Tustin, Lexus. Yeah. I'm on the phone again with the GM and I get to the end of the story and he says, tell me again who you are. And I said, well, listen, I'm shooting a movie right now with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. If you want to deliver the car, I guess I could introduce you to him, take some photos. And the guy says, how's Monday?
And
so I know Tom's a car guy. So I tell Tom, because I got to get him to take this photo. You know what I mean? I have completely pimped him out. And so I tell him, hey, Tom, you know that Lexus Coupe? Oh, my God. Yeah, the new one? Yeah, yeah. You can't get it. It's a great car. I'm having one delivered today. Get out of here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for sure. If you want to drive it first, you know, we'll go for a drive around the What time? What time? 1 o'clock. Okay, great, great. Yeah, no, I'm there. And 12:30, I'm in my trailer. Open up the door. There's Tom. Is car here yet? It's another half hour, Tom. Okay, relax, let me know.
It's coming from Mr. Tustin Lexus. At some point, it's coming by here.
Yeah, right. He's driving all the way out from Tustin,
Tustin
to Culver City. It's a good hour.
Yeah, it's for sure.
So, you know, Tom's very excited. I think he's established that. One of the jobs our first AD on every movie has to figure out how to get all the actors to the set at the same time. And in that courtroom scene, there's a lot of us.
Oh, sure.
You know, Demi's going to take 7 minutes when you knock on her door. Jack's going to take 11 to find his shoes. Kevin's always wants to go to the restroom again before he leaves. But Tom, can I stand up for a second for
sure,
a little demo?
Yeah,
this
sure.
is Tom. When you knock on his trailer door, it's as if he's doing this on the other side of the door.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Because he would burst through the door and run to set.
Yes.
So much so that one day I'm running to set, or he's running past me to set, and I go, Tom, where's the fire? Just busting chops. And he says, come on, Kevin. Sure enough, I'm running with him, you know, leading by example.
Yes.
So 12:45, that, open the door. Is the car here yet? It's not here yet, 1 o'clock, Tom. Okay, let me know. No, I'll definitely let you know. 1:05, I walk out of my trailer, Tom's pacing. He's pacing at his trailer. I'm not going to assume it's because of the car. And I look towards the drive, and sure enough, the guy's pulling in about 1:09. And I'm walking towards the GM in my new car, dark blue, tan interior. I can't believe this car is being delivered to me.
Yes.
And Tom runs past me towards the guy driving the car. And I'm thinking, oh, don't blow the deal, Tom. Don't blow the deal. Yeah. Well, Tom's angry. So the guy stops the car, about to meet Tom Cruise. Tom opens the door. What are you doing, man? It's 10 after 1. Supposed to be here at 1 o'clock. Tom, don't yell at the GM of Tustin Lexus. I need this deal. Yeah, I got it. The 90 days waiting list gone. List price, over list price. Nope, I got it for list.
Oh, my God.
Hey, buddy. And the driver, the GM is like, oh, geez. Sorry, there was traffic. You got to allow for traffic. I can't believe he's scolding the GM from Tustin Lexus. But sure enough, the GM tosses me the keys. Mm-hmm. I say, no, Tom, you drive first. The GM gets in the back seat, and I got to see Tom stunt drive my brand new car.
Oh, my God.
90 miles an hour residential, the guy in the back seat. For sure, A, having the time of his life, and B, wetting himself without question. I mean, this guy looked terrified, sliding back and forth in the back seat. Yeah, it was incredible.
But you did get the car.
And I got, yeah.
Okay, and yeah, the guy got the picture.
The guy got the photo.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, still, sheet white, the guy.
How would it have gone if you had offered Nicholson instead? You said it was you'd made a movie with both of them. If you had asked Nicholson, he would say you, Lieutenant Weinberg.
Yeah, Jack, do you mind taking a photo with the GM from Lexus and Tustin? I'm sorry, what, Kev? From where now? Jesus.
Jeez. So I don't know if I ever asked you, was that line, you, Lieutenant Weinberg, that he threw, was that ad-libbed?
Who's going to do it? You?
Yeah,
you, the Jew? You mean that line? Yeah.
It was in context what it sounded like.
We don't speak to each other. We're introduced to Brenda's office briefly. There are no words exchanged. He has no reason to, A, remember my name, and B, point me out of the courtroom unless he is, in fact, saying, who's going to do it? You, the Jew? That's Aaron Sorkin wanting everyone to know he's not just misogynistic and racist. He's also anti-Semitic.
So it was scripted.
Absolutely.
He didn't just throw that one off.
No.
Okay.
No. I told you this, the rehearsal scene.
You have before, but I mean, we've got a new audience because he did everything letter perfect in that scene. I know we've discussed this before.
We rehearsed for a couple of weeks, Tom Demme, Rob Reiner, the director, and myself.
Right.
And during those couple of weeks, on a soundstage, tape on the ground like if you were doing a Broadway play, which I had never done before or since. And after a couple of weeks, we realized that Rob, who you've had on the show, is very demonstrative, right? And he'll say, to give you a direction, he'll end up kind of acting it out a little bit. Now, to actors, sometimes you're offended by a director giving line readings because it suggests, don't do it that way, do it this way.
Right.
So Rob never did that. He just got so excited telling you what, remember the thing in the moment of the scene, and he ends up acting it out of excitement. So we learned, oh, he's not being, you know, giving us line readings. Mm. Then Jack arrives, and now it's Jack's turn to rehearse with Rob. Jack sits in the chair, and he does the soliloquy on the stand for the first time in front of anyone. And it's conservatively 97% of what we see in the movie. It's so perfect already.
Right.
And Rob's standing over him, 6'2", 6'3". And Jack finishes and looks up at, and Rob says, incredible, astonishing. That's Jack, I can't believe we're already there. You mean, it's just ridiculous. You know that moment when you say, and if you had an overhead camera looking down of Tom, Demi, and I in a line, you would see us from overhead stepping 1 foot back at this moment.
Yes.
As Rob is basically giving Jack Nicholson a line reading. Mm-hmm. And Rob finishes, and Jack and just looked up to him and said, yes, well, I guess I'm not there yet, am I? Yowza! Wow. Yes.
Yeah. I guess I'm not there yet.
But he was. And it was letter perfect. I mean, yeah, just.
So none of it was ad-libbed. It was literally letter perfect.
Not from a the syllable. Scene. Yeah. And because it was a Broadway play that already had 500
right.
plus performances.
Right.
Rob wanted very much to stick to the letter. Yeah.
Well, it certainly worked out, Matt. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whew. So, okay. A helicopter ride in a Lexus. Yeah. So that's a car.
Yeah.
You know, we're almost at a train situation here for, which I guess happens in a Mission Impossible. Tulsa King, available Sundays on Paramount Plus, currently in season 3, premiered this past Sunday. Can't wait to see where everything goes. Oh, you got one more picture?
Yeah, yeah, we dug this up today, Kevin. Is it an anniversary or something of this? Or is this like your headshot thing that we found?
Oh, the composite.
Yeah, what is this?
You first get to LA and they say, you got to get a composite photo.
Walk us through?
Yes, I can.
What this is?
Upper left corner, that would be the tennis game. If you're able to zoom in at all, for some bizarre reason, I'm in corduroy shorts. Repeat corduroy shorts.
Okay.
And an amazing Jufro, had lots of hair back then.
Okay.
Upper right hand corner, just taking a biz call, phone booth. A lot of kids don't know what that means. This is 40 years ago, 1985.
You're wearing a pinky ring in that phone.
Hey, you know
call.
What? Stay out of it. Already.
we're making pizzas, lower left.
Thrown a pie.
Okay.
That's not superimposed. That's an actual thrown pie.
And then we're fishing on the right.
And then very sad that the fish is so tiny that I caught. Yeah, I had to direct all these. Those are all shot on location, by the way. This is not CGI. This is not sound stages.
Look at you. You
40
just,
years ago.
And you're
trying to start the career.
And we're channeling on the left. You just lost a point in your corduroy shorts. Is that what we're doing right here?
I was channeling McEnroe.
Okay, probably so.
Yeah. Are you serious?
And look at you on the right.
That was an are you serious?
You're booking something.
I'm booking.
You're booking something. Booking something.
I'm definitely not saying buy, sell.
And what's the
I think I had a day planner in my left hand
look
in
at
that
you.
Phone booth.
What is the oldest residual check you get?
Oh golly.
Of anything.
What like, did we get? Like $1.93?
Of what? From what? Like what is when you open it up and you're like
probably Barry Levinson's masterpiece, Avalon. Yeah. I enjoyed him on the show recently, by the way.
Thank you.
Great interview.
Great to have him here.
Yeah, that's 1989. But maybe Willow from the 88.
Okay. No TV show that you did is a.
You know what? You are correct. Who's the Boss? Who's the Boss with Tony Danza?
Who are you and who's the. Well, look it up, Chris. Who are you and who's the Boss?
I was the manager of a submarine sandwich shop. Where his daughter got a job, and then...
Okay.
1987.
Wow. She asked me to hire him. We do, and then he's not working out at all because it's Tony Danza. Mm-hmm. And I asked her to fire her dad.
And so she wound up being the Boss.
Yes.
So I thought it was a rhetorical question as to who the Boss was.
Now we know.
Oh, after my God. It's so complicated now.
I'm so glad I could come on just in time to solve that mystery.
Solve the mystery.
Just like the Columbo. Episode is Yellow Submarine.
Hey.
Shaboom.
Kevin.
Shaboom.
Kevin, you were in an episode of Amen.
Yes, okay. I was.
Oh, okay. Sherman Hemsley back.
Sherman Hemsley. Around the same time,
1987,
right?
You were a photographer.
Yeah.
And I used to love that
Correct,
show.
Continue. Small Jews for 400. The answer is.
And Sherman gave you a ride that day in his helicopter in his whirly gig. Very good. Oh, my God. You're the best, dude. Thanks for coming
thank
on.
Thank you
here.
So much. You're
the best.
Go Niners.
Yes, sir.
Jaguars, no problem.
That's 4-0 then. Then you're they're coming here.
And then we're coming to town. I'm going to give the Rams the advantage.
Okay.
But then when we see the Rams again later in the season, we got some people back. Look the hell out.
Okay. Look the hell out. Also for Tulsa King on Sundays on Paramount Plus, along with Sylvester Stallone, this man, Kevin Pollak, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back to wrap up this program in a matter of moments. Oh.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Just want to let you know about the Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. It's all new and it's incredible because it gets up to 600 plus miles of range. That is a ridiculous number. Anybody who's got a hybrid, anybody who's got an all-electric vehicle knows that. So for a hybrid, too, unbelievable. If it's capable of going off-road, check that box. It is. There's a spacious interior that's comfy for the entire crew. The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid is so much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. 562-314-4603 is the number. As always here, I finish the week by looking over the steering wheel and telling you the rest of the NFL week that's already begun. My top five other matchups of week number four. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, everybody. Number five on the list is the first game in the National Football League's history to be played in Dublin, Ireland. And it's a pretty big one for the 2-1 Steelers and the 2-1 Vikings. The winner goes to 3-1. And if it's the Vikings, they then head to the UK to play in London. Is the first ever team to play back-to-back weeks in separate countries to take on the Browns. Pretty big game. The Steelers win this game. They are 3-1, and it will delight many of the Steeler fans that are there in Dublin, and they have a bye, after which they play Cleveland. So the winner of this game has the Browns next. Pretty big game, no doubt. Carson Wentz versus Aaron Rodgers. We'll see what happens there. Number four is just up the road. Can the 3-0 Indianapolis Colts keep this magic carpet ride rolling against a Rams team that could have been 3-0 had they not had their last two field goals blocked in Philadelphia? Yep. So the Rams coming off of a big showing in Philly, but a bad taste in their mouths. And Daniel Jones coming against the defense that shut down Jalen Hurts in the first half and then second half got lit up. So we'll see which defense shows up. I can't wait to see if the Colts go 4-0 against a Rams team that has a chance to take first place in division before taking in the Niners to kick off week number five on Thursday night. Number three is the aforementioned Eagles going down to Tampa, where they have had problems. And the Bucs have had the Eagles number. The question is which one of these teams is going to go 4-0? Baker versus the defending Super Bowl champs. Just all kinds of awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's an early window game on Fox. Can't wait for that one. Then late window CBS. The loser between the 1-2 Ravens and 1-2 Chiefs goes to 1-3. How big is this
crazy
football game? I was thinking of making it number one just because of that. Last year, they kicked off the season together because they finished the season in the AFC in an AFC championship game. Now they're taking on each other for the right to avoid the 1-3 start. Thought about making that number one overall, but Micah going back to Dallas on Sunday night. The last two games are kind of more rubbernecking maybe, but they're also teams that had that have playoff and Super Bowl aspirations. Jerry, the over under again is 5.5 shots of Jerry Jones in the booth. You're taking
way
the over, right?
Way over.
Maybe we should we set it at 6.5?
Yeah, 8.5.
Okay, wow, geez. Can't wait for this one on Sunday Night Football on NBC. And go ahead,
one more. Thank you. I did not know this.
Cooper. I'm going to go Jackson Dart start against the Chargers.
Hey, this game can be sneaky fun.
I want to see what he looks like. Cam Scadaboo getting the start. Let's see if the new young Giants can take down a marauding Los Angeles Chargers team. Or can the Chargers just come across the country early window game for a West Coast team is never easy. But then again, this team flew 11.5 hours to take on the Chiefs in Brazil. And then on a Monday night, came up with a big win. Can't wait to see that game. And those are my top five matchups of week number four. And enjoy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast.
You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.